ABC Radio Australia.
And at last year's COP26 climate talks, a young Samoan activist took to the stage and delivered this powerful message to world leaders.
You all have the power here today to be better, to remember that in your meeting rooms and drafting documents are more than just black and white objects. To remember that in your words, you wield the weapons that can save us or sell us out.
Now, that was a year ago, but this morning we're joined by that very climate activist, Brianna Fruin. Welcome to the show, and great to have you in studio, standing right in front of me after so many times on the phone.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so great to be in person and to see you in person.
Yes, on a very cold and early Melbourne morning. Now, I wanted you to reflect on that message that you gave to world leaders at COP26. You spoke of climate inaction there. Do you believe, as you said there, that world leaders have sold out the Pacific?
I feel like generationally, the world has sold out the Pacific. I think we live in a time where we are living through the impacts of colonization still. And one of the children of colonization is climate change. And so, yes, I believe that the world has sold out the Pacific historically, and they have a chance now to make that right by finally acting on climate change, because that can finally give us a little bit of justice that we deserve.
What is this relationship between colonization and the Pacific and the Pacific and climate change, really?
So my belief has always been that colonization comes from this mindset of you can take and you can own anything you want to take and own, right? And so that's what it was for, I can speak specifically for Samoa, when we were colonized by Germany and then by the Crown that then gave us to New Zealand. So it was people believing that they could just take us because we were something to be owned. And that's the same attitude and thought process that people have towards the environment. So we can take from the earth, we can own the earth and keep extracting with no consequence. And so that's the same mind frame that has given us the climate crisis. And so saying that the climate crisis is a direct descendant of its predecessor, colonization, it's saying that we're all living in this broken system where people for too long have believed we can take and take with no consequence, especially when something doesn't even belong to us.
I mean, it's interesting now reflecting on that, because we are seeing Pacific governments that are now independent, I guess, still encouraging mining in their countries, which can exacerbate this problem of climate change. What is the situation there? Should there be more accountability to our own governments in the region?
Definitely. I think when we call out other countries and say that they need to have their backyards clean, we also need to have our backyards clean. And so saying that we are trying to deal with the consequences of colonial rule or colonial power that we still feel in the Pacific doesn't mean that when we became independent, that some of our governments still perpetuated the values and the sometimes thought of what our colonial rule was. And so there's that saying that you can cut down the tree, but sometimes the roots are still there. And so I think we also have to remember that there are still some of those roots within our islands and our countries, but that doesn't mean that we haven't come a long way, and we have a lot of people who are trying to weed everything out.
I mean, it's a difficult situation then, I guess, because the Pacific does need to look at former colonial powers and push them, I guess, to change, because a lot of these countries are the ones that emit the most. Do you believe that's happening? Do you believe world leaders are listening?
I think so. The first COP I went to was actually a biodiversity COP. I think it was COP 10, which is one of the biodiversity ones in Japan. And no one even knew no one even talked about the Pacific. The Pacific wasn't even on the agenda. Like, no one cared. No one knew where Samoa was when I was introduced to people. And then COP 21, the Pacific voice really came through, where we had campaigns like 1.5 to Stay Alive that was really pushed by the Micronesian government. Mm. And so there was a little bit of progress made. And then finally, the last COP I went to, I felt like there was so much more young Pacific voices that I've never seen before. And so I feel like little by little, we're starting to be heard, but not at the volume and the rate we need to be.
So, I mean, the next COP is coming up, mm-hmm. and I understand that you'll be there in November, I believe it mm-hmm. is. What do you hope to see happen then?
I hope to see more young people get access to COP, because I think it's really important, because I feel like young people, especially young Indigenous youth and youth of color, are the ones that really push the needle when it comes to ambition. And I hope to see just more average citizens be really concerned about what's happening at COP. And that's why I'm really happy to be with Global Citizen, who really encourage just everyday people to be concerned about what's happening around us. And so that's what I hope to go, not only inside of COP, so I hope there is more participation of young people inside COP, but also on the outside, I hope more people are actively interested in how our fate is being decided in these rooms.
I mean, it's interesting about the ordinary people. I mean, for us, I think our generation, mm-hmm. we've grown up with the climate change message. You know, I can't think of a year where there hasn't been a report, new research talking about how dire the situation is. Yet there hasn't been the same sort of changes in policy and really us meeting those targets. Mm. Why is there that difference, do you think? What needs to change?
I think a few things need to change. I think for government and for world leaders, I think they need to really realize that the people and that their voters won't stand by inaction anymore. I think that's really important that we realize the power of people. I think we always think that leaders lead us, but we should be leading leaders because we're the ones who put them in those positions. And so I think that that needs to happen. And then we just need to keep building momentum and putting pressure on those in power to do the right thing.
If you are just joining us here on Pacific Beat, we're joined by youth climate activist Brianna Fruin. And live in studio, mm-hmm. right yeah. across from me yeah. now, we're talking all things climate advocacy in the Pacific. And we're talking about these big, big meetings. Mm-hmm. And we've got another big meeting coming up, the UN General Assembly. And there we understand that Vanuatu will be mm-hmm. putting forward its case, which has since been supported mm-hmm. by Pacific leaders, to get climate change before the International Court of Justice. What are your thoughts on that campaign?
I think it's so important. Personally, I am very proud to stand behind Vanuatu and to do anything that we can do for climate justice in any means possible. And so I feel like taking this up in the legal field is important, as well as the activism that goes on, as well as everything else that goes on simultaneously. It's important that we're covering all bases. And so Vanuatu doing this is important, or I believe, for the Pacific, because they're leading a charge where we can finally see if the International Court of Justice can help us.
And, you know, you mentioned that you're part of Global Citizen, mm-hmm. is that right?
Yes.
And then there's a festival coming up in New York City. I was looking at the lineup and there's like quite many international mm-hmm. artists. I think Mariah Carey, Metallica are there. I mean, how do celebrities and this high-profile performance, with a lot of money going behind it as well, actually help drive policy and you know, tangible changes, reductions in emissions around the world?
I believe that celebrity, and in this case, the Global Citizen Festival with people like Mariah Carey and Jonas Brothers, they drive people. And so I've always known that climate change hasn't always been a topic that some of my friends want to talk about. Like, some people are just trying to make it through life, and it's hard. They're trying to fight their own battles. It's hard to fight other people's battles. And so some people, when it comes to societal issues and environmental issues, you can't even get them to the table. And so I've been in a lot of spaces where I feel like I am preaching to the choir. I'm talking about people power and taking action to people who are in university or who are already attending COPs. So they've already come to the table. They already know what needs to be done, and they're already joining the movement. And then I have friends within my own circle that didn't really like, their ears didn't perk up until I said, oh, there's a concert that Mariah Carey's singing at, and then they're entertained.
It's like the honey, isn't it, to draw people in?
It is. Yeah. And, you know, I don't blame people who don't want to talk about climate change, because I understand we live in a fast-paced world, and especially if you come from communities who just trying to live paycheck to paycheck, trying to get by. You know, people who are poor are also time poor. Mm-hmm. And so for those that, you know, need a more entertaining way to hear about climate change and hear about change, and if that comes from the Jonas Brothers, maybe they're listening, I think we shouldn't count those people out either. I think that we need to find different ways to reach different audiences. And I think celebrities have proven to do that.
What keeps you motivated, Brianna? Because this is such a big cause to put yourself behind. Do you ever feel a bit exhausted by it all and a bit, you know, hopeless, really, with the situation that we find ourselves in?
I'll be honest, I have moments where I'm like, oh, this isn't looking too good, but I manage to pull myself out of those emotions, or sometimes live within it. And I'm listening to a panel recently about emotional resilience in the climate space. And one of the psychotherapists said that burnout is actually not from the lack of energy, it's from the lack of your why. So people actually experience burnout when they forget their why they're doing the work that they're doing. And that's what makes you tired, is thinking that I'm doing this for nothing. So I feel like I've always had my why intact, and my why has always been Samoa and the Pacific Islands.
Okay. Yes.
And keeping our islands above water. And that's what's kept me going. And I think that's what's prevented me from burnout.
Oh, well, that's a good message, I guess, to all of us out there. The why is important. Mm-hmm. And we are seeing more of these big, you know, large institutions make claims about climate change. We saw PIF, the Pacific Islands Forum, just a couple of months ago, declare a climate emergency in the region. Mm-hmm. Does that matter, or is that just words on a page?
Matters. I think it's important. I think words are important. I think even changing the way we say climate change, so climate crisis, even saying we're in a climate emergency, because words are followed by feeling. And so if we can use the right terminologies and use the right words, that can be quite impactful. And we see that at COP as well, where loss and damage is hardly, people don't really want to put that on page because they know the power of those words. Mm-hmm. Same with climate financing, even numbers are important. And so I feel like it is important to state that we're in a climate emergency.
And where to now? You know, we just discussed you're heading to COP27. We've got Global Citizen and this UN General Assembly. A lot is happening. Mm-hmm. What do you want to see happen? You know, what is your one message that you want to see happen in the next year?
My one message I want to see happen is I want more people to join the fight for climate justice. And I know there's a lot of us, but I feel like every single person needs to. And if I can just speak about the Pacific, I know a lot of us already are experiencing climate change. And so it's just getting the people to be able to, like, hold mics to us and amplify our voices, make sure that not just us in the global south are speaking up about climate change as well, is that the global north are taking responsibility, and more just average citizens, and really embodying this sense of, like, a global citizen of collective care, of believing we live in a shared planet where we need to protect each other and look out for each other and really just bring back empathy for one another. If I could see anywhere forward, I just believe in the people to do it.